and you can work your whole life and get everything you ever wanted. A day could come where you could set out at a goal and you can meet every single goal that you set out to get. You could have the big house, the hot wife, the big car, the fast car, whatever. And one day you're going to die and someone else is going to take all your junk. And he says, even if you get it all, you're going to lose it because you can't take it with it. Possessions come, and if they don't break down, you will, and it can, and you can't bring it with you.
Worship Generation Radio presents Pastor Nate Gallagher of the Factory Youth, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Vero Beach. Solomon was the wisest man to have ever lived. There was a season of his life, however, where he didn't use that wisdom. In this season, he sought to find the meaning and purpose of life apart from God, and what he found was that all is vanity. When you remove God from the equation, life is pretty bland. Solomon then came to his senses and wrote about his experience in the book of Ecclesiastes. In this series, we look at the foolishness of looking to the world to find purpose and satisfaction. Here's Pastor Nate as we study the book of Ecclesiastes in a series called Fool's Gold.
I'm calling this message, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, Pop the Bubbly. And as Solomon, he's attempting to find purpose in partying and in power and in pleasure. All the things that people say is the true purpose of life, but all is empty, he says, all is vanity. A good idea, illustration of the word vanity is a word, we like to call it a bubble. You guys know what a bubble is? Because it's here for a moment and it's so exciting. Like, have you seen a kid when a bubble comes? Like, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, that is incredible. And then it's gone, right? And then it's gone. It's there for a moment, and then it's gone. And so tonight, we're going to talk, we're going to walk through this text and sort of pop the bubbles of pleasure. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, it's on the screen, he says this, Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Life is not about what you own. Life is not about pleasure. And tonight we're going to see that to be true throughout our text. We're going to begin in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 11. We read this, Solomon writing, he says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Mirth is happiness or laughter. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely, this was also vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven in all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Solomon is kind of a downer a little bit when we read this. It's like he's building all this stuff. He's talking about all these wonderful things as it appears, and then he gets to the end and he says it was a bubble. Like, it was super exciting and then it popped. All was vanity. And in these verses, Solomon basically brags on all that he has and all that he's experienced and all that he's gotten to enjoy. But he tells us right away in the beginning, like, he's like, all right, I went out to find happiness and purpose and pleasure, but it was vanity. It was pointless. It was worthless. But then he goes on to tell us those different areas that he explored in his pursuit of pleasure. And I want you to see verse 1 in a different translation. This is the message. It's on the screen. Ecclesiastes 2:1. It says, I said to myself, let's go for it. Experiment with pleasure. Have a good time. But there was nothing to it, nothing but smoke. And that's sort of the philosophy of the day. Let's go for it. Just do it. Just live how you want to live. And he lives that sort of life, but then he realizes that it was smoke. It was empty. It was a bubble. And Solomon, he sort of fell for this idea that purpose can be found in pleasure, but it ended in smoke. And I want us to walk through these things that he listed and see if we can find a parallel today and see if there's actually anything to them. The first thing he turns to is he seeks to find pleasure in partying. That's the first thing he says, pleasure in partying. Verse 3, it says it again, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guarding my heart with wisdom. He thinks maybe he can find purpose in partying and drinking. Also notice that he says he tries to gratify his flesh with wine while guiding his heart with wisdom. I feel like, this might just be my personal opinion, but I feel like wisdom and alcohol don't necessarily mix. Like, I've never met somebody that was like, do you know what? I got really drunk last night and I made the best decision of my life. And you're like, oh, good for you. Like, you're the only person ever that's ever done. Like, usually what happens is people decide to get really drunk, and then they wake up thinking, what did I do last night? Like, they look at their friend's Snapchat or Instagram, and they're like, oh, did that really happen? Like, I do not remember. I thought I was making really good decisions. I thought I was, you know, like, acing tests and getting jobs and, like, you know, like good things. And I don't remember doing that. And alcohol almost always leads to stupid decisions and mistakes. And what starts out as a fun time or maybe even harmless can very quickly lead to a bad situation or a dangerous situation. Solomon, he thought he would find purpose and pleasure through partying, but it was empty. The fun ends and you just wake up with the stupidity and pain from the night before hanging over you. That's what it does. And he says, okay, I'm going to find pleasure in partying. I'm going to go out. I'm going to have this good time. And he realizes it's a bubble. It doesn't last. So then he explores a new avenue. From there, he goes from pleasures in partying to pleasures in possessions. He's like, well, that didn't work for me. Let's try something else. Look at verse 4 again. It says, I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. He had houses and property and pools and chariots. And notice everything was plural. Did you notice that? He didn't build a house. He built houses. He didn't plant a garden. He planted gardens. He didn't have a pool for his orchards. He had pools for his orchards. Like, you see, everything he had was like on a grand scale. He had the biggest houses, the fastest chariots, the most horses. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 26, it's not on the screen. It says that he had about 1,400 chariots. And 1 Kings 9 says he built entire cities just for his chariots. Talk about like multiple car garages, right? He's like, I'm going to build a city for all my rides. Like, that's what he did. It took Solomon, he was the guy that built the temple of the Lord. And it took Solomon 7 years to build the temple for God, which was one of the most advanced and beautiful pieces of architecture of all time. It took him 7 years to build it. It took Solomon 13 years to build his own house. Nearly twice as long it took him to build his house. Not because he didn't, like, he was short on labor, but because it was that big, that extravagant. He got stuff imported from all over the world, building this massive house. He also had a summer home in the forest of Lebanon that was equally as big. Some scholars say that it had up to 45 rooms in his summer home. He made even massive guest houses for some of his wives. He didn't want to spend too much time with them, so he made them massive houses far away, and that's where he sent some of his wives. And he had all of these houses. And Solomon, he had everything you could possibly buy, and he worked really hard to get all that stuff. But hard work that leads to stuff isn't satisfying. He says this in verse 18. It's on the screen. He says, then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. He says, I built all these houses. I have all these really fast chariots that are all pimped out with like underglow and spinners. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is 2007 or whenever that was cool. Anyway, so he's got all this stuff and he's like, oh, look at all my stuff. Look at my cities for my cars and all this stuff. And then he goes, wait a second. I'm going to die one day and somebody else is going to drive that chariot around. Someone else is going to sit in my throne. Somebody else is going to own my palace. And he goes, this is pointless. He hated all the stuff that he had because he couldn't take it with him. And you can work your whole life and get everything you ever wanted. A day could come where you could set out at a goal and you can meet every single goal that you set out to get. You could have the big house, the hot wife, the big car, the fast car, whatever. And then one day you're going to die and someone else is going to take all your junk. And he says, even if you get it all, you're going to lose it because you can't take it with it. Possessions come, and if they don't break down, you will, and you can't bring it with you when you die. And Solomon, he explores the pleasure in possessions. From there, he goes to pleasure and power. He goes partying, then to possessions. Third, he goes to power. Verse 7, check it out. He says, I acquired male and female servants. He says, and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds, of flocks, and all who are in Jerusalem before me. He says he had male and female servants, and they were having kids, and so he got more servants. They're like, they were already his property, and then when they had kids, he just got more property. And so he said, they did everything for me. He didn't have to lift a finger. Everything he wanted, he could have, and he could tell others to go and get it for him. It's pretty much true in life that you will always have a boss. But you should just accept that now. Like right now, it could be your parents or your teachers, or if you work, it's your boss. And you'll pretty much always have someone over you for your whole life. But you might think, well, I'm going to have my own business. Well, that's true. There's still going to be police officers and the government, and there's always going to be somebody over you. That wasn't the case for Solomon. Solomon was the king, and he was like the ultimate king. He had power over everyone, and people, other kings and queens, sent him stuff like on a regular basis because they just loved Solomon so much. And he could tell anybody at any time to do anything. No one could tell Solomon what to do, and he could tell anyone what to do. He had power over people, and yet, nothing. He turns to something else. From there, Solomon goes from the pleasure of power, and he goes to pleasure in prosperity or money. Look at verse 8. It says this. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. 1 Kings chapter 10, it goes into great detail to talk about all the money that Solomon had. And I want to show you guys a couple things. It's on the screen. 1 Kings 10:14, it says this. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Just kind of side note, we're not going to go into this to too much detail. But notice the numbers up there that came to him yearly. I mean, it's not like, let's not read into it too much, but it is 666, which is kind of scary. And it's the only time in scripture, other than when it talks about the mark of the beast in Revelation, that those three numbers are next to each other in scripture. And sort of the real sort of cake on top is in Deuteronomy, it tells the kings very specifically that they weren't to multiply horses for themselves, which we read about that. It also says that you aren't supposed to take the people back to Egypt where they can multiply horses for himself. And it also says of Solomon that he imported horses from Egypt for himself. So just kind of side note. And then also it says don't multiply wives. We're going to look at that in a second. And it says don't multiply gold and silver. And every year people were sending him this sum of money to his doorstep. It also goes on to say in verse 22, it says, for the king had merchant ships at sea with a fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. And then it goes on to say, so King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. He had it all. So much so that he didn't even know what to spend his money on anymore. He's like, could you bring me some monkeys and some apes and like, some elephants so I can have their ivory husks. Like, he just goes for it. He wants everything, and he's asking for things, and he's just spending his money on anything that he can buy. He also had a golden throne with two lions on each armrest, and he had 12 lions on the 6 steps that led up to his golden throne. If it were possible to find pleasure in money, Solomon would have found it, but he didn't. And because he had so much, he didn't know what to do with it. He's like, I guess I'll take another lion or a monkey or something. Like, he had no idea because the money did not satisfy what he was searching for. From there, Solomon tried to find pleasure in performance. It says in verse 8, he says, kings and provinces, I acquired male and female singers and musical instruments of all kinds. He acquired male and female singers and these instruments. Solomon had the best singers and bands of the day on retainer. Like at any time he wanted to have a concert in his living room, he like just like, I don't know, did the bat signal and like they came down and he would have a concert. Like if he couldn't sleep in the middle of the night, he's like, all right, well, you guys sing for me. He had access to anything he wanted to. And it would be like having the best bands of the day. Like he had, I don't know, 5 Seconds of Summer or something. No? Anybody? Hannah? All right. On retainer, right? Anything he wanted, he had. And he said he tried to find it in entertainment. And after entertainment, he turned to pleasure in people or relationships. Verse 8 says, the delights of the sons of men. That's not hopscotch, in case you're wondering. So he turns to this. And Solomon, he thought he could find pleasure and purpose in relationships. And he wasn't just your average playboy with a few girlfriends. 1 Kings 11, verse 3, it says this. He goes, and he had 700 wives, princesses, not just like princesses as wives, and just, you know, on top, 300 concubines. So 1,000 women at his disposal. The concubines, basically, in loose terms, is like a stripper girlfriend, is basically what he had. So he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. At any given time, he could have relations with any given one, any combination of anyone. He had it all that you could possibly imagine. He had it. He could find pleasure in every sort of avenue he wanted to. Now, we might think, especially this one, like, that's crazy. That's absurd. How could you have access to that, all that many? You know, we have access to that same thing. A lot of us carry it in our pockets. It may not look the same, but it's the same. 1,000 different women? Sure, go for it. He thought he could find the sort of purpose he was looking for in that pleasure. And he found it was empty. It was a bubble. It was there for a moment. It was gone. And he had to turn to all of these different things. And yet all of that, Solomon was not satisfied. He said in verse 1, all of it was vanity. And yet many people today think that if they could have what Solomon had, they would be happy. And it's not like we've advanced in our day and age and our pleasures are different. Like what we just listed are the exact same things that people try to look for in pleasure today. The exact same things. There was no different. There was not one of those that are like, we don't really understand that. Every single one is what we deal with today. We haven't advanced. It's the same exact thing. Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun. Maybe some of them are through different mediums, but it's attempting to find purpose in the same types of pleasure. And it's a bubble. It's never going to satisfy. So with that, that's Solomon's journey in chapter 2, trying to find purpose and pleasure. And with that, I want to give you sort of two takeaway truths that we can take home with us from this chapter, looking at Solomon's journey, trying to find purpose in pleasure. Number one, pleasure can't produce permanent purpose. Pleasure cannot produce, will never produce permanent or lasting purpose or satisfaction. It never will. Pleasure cannot produce it. Solomon had to try all these different things because none of them satisfy. Like, if he would have gotten to, like, all of his chariots and he would have been satisfied, he wouldn't have had to go to the next thing, right? He'd be like, oh, okay, I found it. I found the purpose I was looking for. It was having a lot of stuff. That's what I needed. But it didn't satisfy. So then he changed his attention to something else. And then that didn't satisfy. And then he changed it to something else. And that didn't satisfy. If purpose could be found in parties or power or prosperity or any of these things, he would have stopped at that one. But it can't be found there, and so he had to explore all of them. And it probably, most likely, brought satisfaction for a moment. He probably found it for a moment. And then he spent the rest of his days trying to find that once again, but it never lasted. And pleasure, it can produce momentary happiness. It can produce momentary satisfaction, but it doesn't last. And you can spend your whole life trying to chase a feeling that pleasure can never produce. You can spend your whole life chasing that feeling. And you will get close. And that's why you'll keep searching. You'll be like, I'm so close. If I just had just that boat or just that relationship or just that house or if I didn't have to report to that person, if I could be their boss, then I'd be happy. And you could be so close and never arrive. And it'll never bring lasting or permanent satisfaction. It'll always be just out of reach. Pleasure is plastic. It looks good, but it will never give you what you need. I had Hannah bring these delicious fruits to show you what pleasure, plastic pleasure looks like. One of the kids at her school clearly thought it was real and decided to dive in and find the satisfaction they were looking for in this little lemon, which is also confusing because you don't eat a lemon like that anyways. Like, come on, three-year-old, get it together. But pleasure is plastic, right? It looks good. It, like, this looks like what I need. If I'm hungry, I want fruit. This looks like what I want. But when you go to eat it, it's not going to produce what you're looking for. Pleasure is plastic. What seems pleasurable today could be dried up tomorrow. Jesus said this to a woman who was trying to find purpose in pleasure. John 4, he says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This woman, she would kind of like Solomon, had a bunch of relationships looking to find satisfaction in these relationships. But everyone dried up. And Jesus said, listen, if you're drinking from those fountains, they will dry up. But if you come to me, you will receive a living water that will gush up out of you like a spring into everlasting water, life. Pleasure can never produce what only Jesus has. Number two takeaway is this: pleasure is never satisfied. Pleasure is never satisfied. Not only does pleasure never satisfy, but it's also never satisfied. Not only will pleasure never satisfy what you're looking for, but also pleasure, or the pursuit of pleasure, is never satisfied. Verse 10, he said this: whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. He also said this in chapter 1, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 8. We looked at it last week. It says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. He says, I gave everything my eyes wanted to look at. I looked at everything I wanted to touch. I touched every place I wanted to go. I went to. And then he goes, but the eye is never satisfied with seeing. The ear is never filled with hearing. You never get to a point where your eyes are like, okay, I'm good. I've seen enough. Like, I'm just going to go to sleep now. He looked at everything he wanted, and yet he wanted more. His eyes never thought that's enough. The quest for pleasure always takes, and it never gives what you're looking for. Listen, addictions never get full. You never get to a place where you're like, I was addicted to that thing, but now I just had enough of it. I'm good. Like, I'm like tapped out. I'm maxed out. I don't need any more. They always want more. And trying to find purpose in pleasure is like trying to empty the ocean of its water. It's never going to happen. And so Solomon, he ends with this tonight. Read it again. This is again the Message translation of verse 11. It's on the screen. He says, then I took a good look at everything I'd done, looked at all the sweat and hard work, but when I looked, I saw nothing but smoke. Smoke and spitting into the wind. There was nothing to any of it. Nothing. That's pleasure. Pleasure is plastic. It's a bubble that's bound to pop. It lasts for a moment and then it's gone. Lasting purpose and pleasure is only found in God. Only. That's the only place where lasting pleasure can be found. Psalms 16, we'll close with this, says this: you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures that satisfy. Pleasures that last. Not pleasures that are there for a moment and are gone and they keep taking from you. Because that's what happens. We think, okay, this is the avenue where I'll finally find purpose. And then we go down that avenue and we think we're going to find it. But then we find that we're stuck on that avenue. And we just wanted to take, we wanted it for ourselves, and now we found that we're a slave to seeking pleasure in that avenue. It was a moment where we were trying to gain something from it, and now we've learned that we've lost everything to it. Listen, the only lasting pleasure that is found at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's in Christ. It's the only place where we can find purpose and pleasure. And listen, God wants to give that to us. God doesn't want to hold back that from us. We're going to look at next week. Solomon writes that in our bodies, in our hearts, there's eternity stamped in us. In other words, we're designed for relationship with God. And the only way to fill this hole in our life is not with pleasure. It's not with any of that. It's with Jesus. Solomon, he's trying to fill a hole shaped like Jesus with pleasure. The only thing that's going to fit in there is Jesus. And we need to understand that. But the only purpose we're going to find, the only pleasure we're going to truly experience is when we're in a committed and saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where we find that type of pleasure, pleasures that last forevermore. Like forever, but then more than forever. That's the, well, that sounds pretty cool. Like the pleasures we are used to experiencing are, they dry up. He's like, oh, you want pleasures? I'll give them to you and they'll last forever. Oh, and then more than that. That's what happens when we come to Jesus. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening to today's study presented by Worship Generation Radio. If you would like to listen again or hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at ccvb.net/thefactorypodcast. You can keep up with all that is going on with Pastor Nate or The Factory by following on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher or at The Factory Youth. If this message has blessed you, we would love to hear about it. Send an email to church@ccvb.net. Join us next time as we continue studying the Bible with Pastor Nate Gallagher.